Hello, this is Sharon, and I'm welcoming you to the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, April 28th, 2026. We'll begin our reading with the Eats of the Week column, Food Truck Smashing It, Career Switch Leads to Butcher Block Burger Stop. David Dudley of El Paso decided after 17 years in the corporate world of finance and accounting that he wanted a change, so he bought a food truck. Now the self-taught cook is serving up locally sourced smash burgers and more with Butcher Block Burger Shop, his Bloomington-based food truck seen at breweries, businesses, and nearby communities. I don't have any grand illusions of taking over anything, you know. I just want to come make my food, make people happy, kind of do my thing, be able to spend time with my family, and enjoy life, he said. The food truck model works for me. It gives me the flexibility I need. The business was started by Austin Sorensen in 2021, and Dudley began running it as his own in 2024, keeping the name the same and only slightly tweaking the menu. When Austin was running it, it got named Best Food Truck in Bloomington Normal a couple of different times, Dudley said. So, you know, people love the burgers. We've got lots of consistent people that show up on a weekly basis. Butcher Block Burger Stop offers single or double basic smash burgers for $10 to $12, as well as hot dogs and bratwursts for $3 to $6. All items can be purchased as a meal, including chips and a drink, for an additional $2. Drinks are $2 and chips are $1 on their own. Free toppings include American or cheddar cheese, the truck's signature B3 sauce, a tangy burger sauce with mayo and some spices, and standards like pickles, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and sauerkraut. Bacon is available as a premium topping for $1. The burgers are by far the most popular menu item and are really good, Dudley said, but he is partial to the brats. He locally sources the meat, including the ground beef, from College Mills Meat Shop, and the brats are from Bloomington Meats. Last year, the truck sold over 3,000 burgers in 6 months, and on the truck's opening night, they sold 50 burgers in the first 2 hours, he said. They sold over 100 burgers last 4th of July, which has been by far their busiest and longest day yet, he added. I love cooking. I cook all of our meals at home for my wife and our daughters, so that's natural for me. I love to do the cooking part, he said, adding that when he isn't operating the truck, he likes to spend as much time with his kids as possible. And I love meeting all the people, too. I don't get to do that a lot because my back is to them. But no, I've met some really nice people. You know, all the brewery owners have been great. I've got a great working relationship with all those guys, he added. Breweries, in fact, are great for his business, he said. We like to hit the breweries in the area and don't have kitchens, he said. It works out well for everybody. People there can get food and to get a natural customer base. The burger stop can typically be found at Keg Grove Brewery in Bloomington every Wednesday night, and it hits Baird's Auto and Tire in Normal, Funky Brew in Gridley, and Analytical Brewing in Lexington a couple times a month. Dudley said he also will start bringing the food truck to Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City once a month through October. The truck operates seasonally, starting in April and continuing through the beginning of November. A weekly schedule is posted on its Facebook page, typically on Sundays or Mondays, but it depends, Dudley added. I mean, it's simple food. So it's, you know, the burgers come out in 3 minutes. People can get in, get out, and go about their day, whether they're doing a lunch or they're hanging out with their friends at one of the breweries, he said. Additionally, the truck is available for special events such as wedding receptions and other big parties. He loves having the truck out on July 4th, even though it's a holiday. Every day the truck is out, Dudley is the one cooking all of the food, and he usually has others working with him, but sometimes he runs the show solo. All of the workers are locals, he said. Dudley said he's thought about doing specials, but explained he hasn't had the time to come up with them, and the limited space in the truck makes it difficult. However, customers can always expect consistency. He said he wants to let others who may want to open a food truck that it is hard work. They should be prepared to wear different hats, whether it's fixing the plumbing, fixing the grill, or essentially doing everything. He said it can be difficult to find professionals to do the stuff you need, so it's better to just be able to do it all yourself. Those who are interested in checking out the food truck can visit them at one of their typical spots or message them on Facebook for inquiries. Again, this is Butcher Block Burger Stop, a food truck serving smash burgers and other fare around Bloomington Normal and Central Illinois. You can find them on Facebook at facebook.com/butcherblockburger. Upcoming, they will be today, April 29th, at the Keg Grove Brewing Company in Bloomington from 5 to 7 p.m. And on May 1st, they'll be at Gibson Area Hospital from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Workers' Memorial Day. Union ceremony honors workers killed on the job. Labor leaders, union members, and community supporters gathered before sunrise yesterday at White Oak Park to remember McLean County workers who died on the job and to call for stronger workplace safety protections. The Bloomington and Normal Trades and Labor Assembly held its annual Workers' Memorial Day ceremony at the park, where attendees listened to an invocation and read the names of hundreds of local workers who died in workplace accidents or from occupational illnesses. This year, the group also paid special tribute to Kevin Lancaster, who died March 5th in a semi-accident involving a loading dock at a Rivian automotive warehouse in Normal. Workers' Memorial Day is observed each year on April 28th, the anniversary of the day the Occupational Safety and Health Act took effect in 1971. The American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations, known as the AFL-CIO, has marked the day nationally since 1989. Using it to remember workers killed or sickened by dangerous job conditions and to press for stronger workplace protections. The brief ceremony held before many headed off to work was both solemn and pointed. Speakers stressed that the annual observance is not only about honoring the dead, but about preventing future deaths through stronger oversight, enforcement, and worker protections. Local labor advocate Mike Majetska said White Oak Park reflects that ongoing mission. Bloomington established the park in the early 1990s, around the same time Workers' Memorial Day began gaining recognition through the labor movement, he said. Local unions helped raise money to plant trees there in memory of workers, especially those who died from asbestos exposure at the former Union Asbestos and Rubber Company plant in Bloomington, and brought a historic flagpole to the site as part of the memorial. So much of what's in this park is remembering our people who have fallen on the job, Majeski said. He said the ceremony serves two purposes each year, to make sure those workers are not forgotten and to remind the public that workplace rules matter. It is very important to remember those who have lost their lives on the job, Majewski said. We can't let these names be forgotten. But remembrance alone is not enough, he added. The memorial reinforces the need for vigilance on the job and for government agencies to enforce safety standards. Keeping people safe is very important, Majewski said. We need OSHA. We need government regulation to ensure employees are playing by the rules. Bloomington Main Street Flex Lane to be parking. Downtown streetscape adjusted for businesses. Plans to add a flex lane to the 300, 400, and 500 blocks of North Main Street as part of Bloomington's streetscape plan were amended by the City Council on Monday to allow for more parking. Construction plans drafted by Crawford, Murphy, and Tilley Incorporated for the first phase of the streetscape project included the flex lane as a way to improve pedestrian access in downtown Bloomington based on public feedback. Such a lane could be used as a bicycle lane, a space for deliveries, garbage pickup, or short-term parking for up to 15 minutes based on signage and the time of day. However, Bloomington Deputy City Manager Billy Tyus said that conversations with downtown business owners showed a concern for the loss of 32 parking spaces adjacent to those businesses. As a compromise to avoid the possibility of vehicles stopping in the middle of the street to drop off deliveries, the streetscape plan was amended to eliminate the flex lane. It allows for parking, but it allows for spaces for deliveries as well, which were two of the primary reasons for the flex lane, Tyus said. Alderwoman Jenna Kearns requested this item be pulled from the council's consent agenda and argued the removal of the flex lane prioritizes car storage over pedestrians. She added that designing the downtown area around curbside parking caters to a narrow group of visitors and discourages a more active business district the city could gain over time. A vibrant downtown, along with long-term business success, depending on people walking, biking, browsing, and spending time downtown, and not just pulling up, parking, and then leaving, Kearns said. Investing in flexibility and accessibility will do more for downtown businesses than a few more parking spaces ever could. The resolution passed 6-2 with Kearns and Alderwoman Molly Ward voting no. Alderman Cody Hendricks was absent. Tyus said the streetscape plan will also include the narrowing of roadways to make the sidewalks more pedestrian friendly. Additional bicycle accommodations are also planned on East and Madison Streets as part of the Illinois Department of Transportation's US 51 upgrades. In anticipation of this project, which is expected to begin later this spring, the City Council also approved a revised plan for water main improvements along the roadway so the work would not interfere with IDOT's project. IDOT intends to resurface and restore a portion of US Route 51 from just south of Olive Street in Bloomington to just north of Gregory and Bowles Streets in Normal. Today, the Flick Fact question. Bloomington Normal is a big golfing town. If you'd walk just through the public courses of Highland Park, the Den at Fox Creek, Prairie Vista, the Links at Ireland Grove, Ironwood, and we bring, how far would you go? Would it be 1, 25.3 miles, 2, 16.8 miles, or 3, 19.8 miles? And the answer is 3, an amazing 19.8 miles. Despite its reputation and designer Arnold Palmer's original boast, the Den isn't the longest. Ironwood edges it, 6,960 yards to 6,926 yards. So yes, you can walk it all. You just might not want to. And from the past pages of the Pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, on April 29, 1926, an immense project looking toward the solution of the greatest problem Bloomington has faced in several decades, that of water supply, has been launched. Options have been secured on nearly 3,000 acres of land along the Mackinac River, starting south of Kappa and extending eastward for about 3 miles. In this territory, a lake will cover about 1,700 acres. 75 years ago, on April 29, 1951, caught fast in a pincer of inflation and mobilization, Illinois Wesleyan University has been forced to take steps to trim its faculty, increase tuition, and consolidate its education program, Merrill J. Holmes, president of the university, revealed. 50 years ago, on April 29, 1976, 4 area high school students have won college-sponsored 4-year merit scholarships. Winners and their colleges are James Henbury from Illinois Wesleyan, David Erickson, Carleton College in Northfield, Minnesota, Barbara Lundquist, St. Olaf, also at Northfield, Lisa Small, William Jewell at Liberty, Missouri. And 25 years ago today, on April 29, 2001, it's a tradition almost as old as humankind itself. For centuries, youngsters and their elders have gathered together in circles around nighttime campfires, sharing tales of history and heroes, myths, and monsters under a star-strewn sky. Replace the campfire with a vintage Spitz A3P star projector, and that is the scene visitors find almost every day at the Illinois State University Planetarium in Normal. About 14,000 primary and secondary school students visit the planetarium each year, and spring is the busiest season as schools wind the year down with field trips, said planetarium coordinator Thomas Wilmich. McLean County Assistant Public Defender faces federal threat charges. A McLean County Assistant Public Defender is charged in federal court with sending threats across state lines. Sean E. Lankus, 35, of Bloomington, was charged Friday by criminal complaint with transmitting interstate threats to injure, according to a news release from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Peoria. He is accused of transmitting several interstate threats to injure another person from February 2023 through April 2026. No further details about the case were immediately available. Lankus was arrested Friday evening by federal agents with assistance from the McLean County Sheriff's Office. The FBI Springfield Field Office also participated in this investigation. He was released Monday on bond conditions following his initial appearance in federal court. According to the defendant's LinkedIn page, Lankus has been employed by the McLean County Public Defender's Office for 1 year. The Pantograph has reached out to the McLean County Public Defender's Office for a comment concerning the status of his employment. As of Tuesday afternoon, Public Defender Ron Lewis had not responded. If convicted, Lankus faces a maximum of 5 years incarceration, a $250,000 fine, and up to 3 years of supervised release. His booking photo was not available on Tuesday. Heartland Community College announces outstanding faculty awards. Christopher Miller and Sonia Workman of Heartland Community College were recently recognized as outstanding faculty members. Miller is the recipient of the 2026 Outstanding Full-Time Faculty Award, and Workman is the recipient of the 2026 Outstanding Part-Time Faculty Award. Two faculty members are selected each year for these honors from student nominations. The Heartland recipients are also submitted to the Illinois Community College Trustees Association for statewide awards, according to a news release. Miller, a distinguished professor of renewable energy, uses technical expertise with a student-first approach with humor, enthusiasm, and memorable storytelling, college officials said. His hands-on labs let students connect theory to practice, helping them build confidence and competence in the workforce, the news release said. He contributes to the state-level clean energy workforce initiatives and helps build early college and dual credit pathways with regional partners, the news release said. He is co-principal of the CREATE Energy National Center, supporting two-year colleges in adopting industry-aligned curriculums and in faculty development. He also has international reach with certification partnerships in China, renewable energy coursework in Belize, and participation as a Fulbright Hayes recipient in East Africa. Workman is a health science instructor who joined Heartland in 2021. She helped shape the Recovery Support Specialist Program as both instructor and program coordinator, helping develop the curriculum. Students describe her as non-judgmental, understanding, and as a mentor who made a major impact on my future and is determined to change lives, the release said. Many also credit her with helping them overcome personal obstacles to stay on track academically. Workman recently was honored with the Keith Kesey Award from the Illinois Association of Behavioral Health. Both awardees were recognized at the Heartland Community College Board of Trustees meeting on April 21st, and they will also be honored during commencement on May 15th. Four Heartland students nominated for ICCTA Awards. Four Heartland Community College students were nominated for the Illinois Community College Trustee Association's state-level awards. Those four students are Scott Georges, Sarah Quinso Sandoval, both of Bloomington, and Mia Lescarno and Amon Lopeco, both of Normal. The ICCTA Awards recognize outstanding contributions from people and programs at community colleges in Illinois and are given annually in various categories. The four students were selected as the college-wide nominees in their respective categories and were recognized during Heartland's April Board of Trustees meeting. All four students were nominated for the ICCTA State Awards, which will be announced in June, according to a news release. Georges won the college-wide Paul Simon Student Essay Contest, and the work has been submitted by Heartland for the state-level competition. The contest provides awards to students who best describe how my community college has changed my life. Quinso Sandoval is the college's nominee for the Greg Chadwick Student Service Scholarship for extraordinary commitment to volunteer service. The award is named for the former Heartland Board of Trustees chair. Lescano is the nominee for the Gandhi King Peace Scholarship for those who best articulate the peaceful messages of Mahatma Gandhi and the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Lopiak is the nominee for the G.G. Campbell Student Trustee Excellence Scholarship. Lopiak served as the Heartland Student Trustee for the 2025 through 2026 academic year. All currently enrolled students at ICCTA member colleges are eligible to participate each year, but each college may enter only one student per scholarship in the statewide competition per academic year, the news release said. Bloomington man facing drug charges, released. A man from Bloomington facing multiple offenses involving drugs has been released from custody. Nicholas D. Ballard, 45, was charged with the following: unlawful possession of 1 to 15 grams of cocaine with intent to deliver, a Class 1 felony. Two counts of unlawful possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver, Class 2 felonies. Unlawful delivery of methamphetamine, a Class 2 felony. He appeared before Judge Amy McFarland on Monday afternoon for the charges involving cocaine, methamphetamine, and fentanyl, according to court records. He's accused of committing these offenses on February 26th, March 5th, and March 14th. The prosecution, represented by Assistant State's Attorney David Fitt, did not file a petition to detain him in jail, and instead, Assistant Public Defender Stuart Wallace agreed to stipulate to the state's probable cause statement. Ballard was released with mandatory conditions plus discretionary conditions not to consume or possess alcohol, cannabis, or controlled substances without a valid prescription. He is scheduled for his next court hearing at 9 a.m. on June 22nd. The Pantograph has a commitment to accuracy and wants you to let them know about any issues regarding accuracy and fairness that you find in the paper. You can contact them at 309-820-3242 or email ojacobs@pantograph.com. If you'd like to look at the past corrections, go to pantograph.com/corrections. We'll take a short break and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, April 29th, 2026. Please stay tuned.